This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Part one of the Morning Farm Show on this Wednesday morning, brought to you by Farm Credit Services of Illinois and by Taylor Tire and Auto on Tyler Avenue in Litchfield.
Crop insurance continues to be a valuable tool for farmers. Jasper County farmer Bill Michael remembers why he decided to purchase crop insurance coverage for his operation.
In 1983, we had a drought. Our corn averaged 15 bushels to acre. Soybeans averaged 20 bushels to acre. That's what opened my eyes to crop insurance. Ever since then, I've had crop insurance every year.
At Farm Credit Services of Illinois, we understand the value you place on working with a crop insurance provider that understands today's crop insurance options.
Farm Credit, the crop insurance agents have been very helpful. They're very knowledgeable in the different programs, different policies available. They're just a phone call away. If I have a question, I just make a call and the answer is there.
Call Farm Credit today at 800-444-FARM. To discover more about a crop insurance plan to fit your farming operation.
Farm Credit has been a big help insurance-wise. They've been a very big help.
At Farm Credit Services of Illinois, we understand.
Taylor Tire and Auto in Litchfield is your headquarters for Firestone Farm Tires and Service. Taylor Tire, your authorized Firestone Tire dealer, is the place to call for all your Firestone Farm Tire needs. And when you need in-the-field service, the folks at Taylor Tire and Auto are trained, experienced, and they have the right equipment to do the job and on time. So when you need Firestone Farm Tires or in-the-field service, call the folks at Taylor Tire and Auto at the west end of Tyler Avenue, Litchfield. First of all, in our farm news on this Wednesday morning, on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday, March wheat closed at 662 and a quarter. That was down 6 1/4. May wheat closed at 672 and a quarter, down 7 1/2. July wheat closed at 684 and 3/4, down 7 1/4. March corn on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 642 and a quarter, down 2 cents. May corn closed at 648 and a half, down 2 3/4. July corn closed at 652 and a half, down 3 3/4. March beans on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 1232, down 1. May beans closed at 1241, down 1. And July beans closed at 1250 and 3/4, also down a penny. March soybean meal on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 325.40, down 21. May meal closed at 327, down 20. July meal closed at 329.40, down 22 cents. March soybean oil on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 52.17, up a penny. May oil closed at 52.57, up a penny. And July oil closed at 52.97, unchanged. March oats on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 327 and 3/4, up 3/4. May oats closed at 317, down 3 3/4. Right now we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture offices in Springfield for the cash grain report.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture's Grain Market News Report. Illinois Kinder grain prices ended slightly lower on Tuesday afternoon. In light trading, futures prices drifted lower. There was very little fresh news to move prices. Traders are still looking forward to the release of the latest U.S. and world supply demand estimates on Thursday. In central Illinois, Kinder grain dealers quoted shell corn business 2 cents lower at 634 to 650, while soybeans dropped 1 to 3 cents at 1208 to 1222. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were mostly 2 to 5 cents weaker at 644 to 663. Soybeans ended steady to a penny lower at 1216 to 1235, and soft red winter wheat down 7 to 8 cents at 649 to 662. In the St. Louis area, country elevators and mills reported those corn bids down 1 to 3 cents, ranged from 641 to 650. Soybeans ended steady to 4 cents lower at 1212 to 1221, and the wheat price is down 4 to 7 at 657 to 680. Illinois River Barge loading elevators quoted producer corn bids mixed at 649 to 656. Soybean bids also ended mixed, ranged from 1237 to 1240. And the new crop wheat bids for July 12 delivery down 7 cents on Tuesday at 660 to 667. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators place their producer corn bids mixed at 668 to 673. These same elevators place their soybean prices steady to 4 cents lower, with quotations at 1254 to 1259. Soft red winter wheat lost 6 cents down to 678 to 679, while the Milo ended 5 cents lower at 622 to 623. That is our country grain report for Tuesday. This is Jerry Milberg returning you to WSMI.
February hogs on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 86.17, down 95. April hogs closed at 89.10, up 55. May hogs closed at 97.62, up 62. February cattle on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 125.35, up $1.60. April cattle closed at 128.57, up $1.07. June cattle closed at 127.95, up 72. March feeder cattle on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 155, up 87. April feeders closed at 157.10, up 55. May feeders closed at 158.65, up 72. Back we go to the Department of Agriculture offices in Springfield for the cash livestock market report.
The closing livestock reports for Tuesday, February 7th, for the Eastern Corn Belt, Daily Direct Hogs, Barrows, and Gilts, closed 56 cents lower, with a carcass-based price range of 80 to 84.5 and a weighted average of 80.62. Hogs purchased in Illinois today, 10,000. Illinois Direct Brown Gilt trade was steady at 56 to 61, a few up to 63, with Illinois Direct Slaughter Sow steady. U.S. 1s to 3s under 400 pounds and 400 to 450 pounds at 50 to 56. 450 to 550 pounds at 53 to 58, over 550 pounds at 55 to 58. Today's estimated receipts of 1,100 and Monday's actual 750. Pork carcass cut out, 85.18, and that is up 43 cents. Estimated daily livestock slaughter to federal inspection, hogs for today, 421,000. Last week, 417,000. A year ago, 414,000. Week to date of 840,000. Cattle for today, 127,000. Last week, 125,000. A year ago, 124,000. Week to date of 251,000. Box beef cut up values were higher on light demand and offerings. Total movement today, 130 fabulos with 52 trim. Choice at 185.68. That is up $1.02. Select at 180.11, and that is up $1.04. Opening report for the United Producers Auction over Shelbyville. Estimated receipts this morning, 268. Compared to last week, slaughters. Steers and heifers were trading 1 to 2 lower, with Holstein steers 50 cents to $1 lower. Slaughter steers, choice 2s to 3s, 124 to 130.75. Holstein steers, choice 2s to 3s at 114 to 118.75. Heifers, choice 2s to 3s at 124.75 to 129.25. Monday at the Arthur Hay Auction, 1,712 bells sold. Compared to last week, hay traded 50 cents to $1 lower, with wheat straw mostly steady. Alfalfa premium quality small squares traded from 7.75 to 10.25, with large squares 2x3s at 110 to 120. Good quality small squares sold $5 to $7. Alfalfa orchard grass mix premium quality small squares sold at 8.75, with good quality small squares from 7 to 7.25. Alfalfa mixed grass good quality large squares 3x3s from $70 to $80. Mixed grass good quality small squares from 4 to 5.5, with large squares 3x3s at 65 to 75. Wheat straw, good quality small squares at 2.25 to 3.25, with large squares 3x3s at 20 to 21. Rye straw, good quality small squares at 3.25. At the United Producers Hay Auction this morning, 372 bells sold. Compared to last week, hay and straw traded mostly 25 to 50 cents higher. All prices for small squares on a per bell basis. Alfalfa, good quality, $6. Alfalfa orchard grass mix, good quality, $10. Mixed grass, good quality at 5.25 to 8.75, with wheat straw at 2.85 to 3.25. Thank you. This is Kim Harmon with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture Livestock and Grain Market News Service, returning you back to WSMI.
On the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday, February Class 3 milk closed at 16.08, down 7. For March, 15.61, down 27. April milk closed at 15.75, down 28. February butter on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday closed at 147, down 2.25. March butter at 148.5, down 1.5. April butter at 152, down 3.75. February non-fat dry milk on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday, 135 and three quarter unchanged. For March, 135 unchanged. And for April, 134 and a half unchanged. Spot prices for block cheese, 148 unchanged. For barrel cheese, 150 and a quarter, down a quarter. For butter, 144 and a half, down one and three quarter. For non-fat dry milk, 133 and a quarter unchanged. And spot prices for Class 3 milk, 1705. Also, on part one of our morning farm show, we'll wrap it up with our bids from Hog Inc. Incorporated of Greenfield and Scottville. Corn delivered to Greenfield for February, $6.51. For March, $6.49. Corn delivered to Scottville for February, $6.43. For March, $6.41. Beans delivered to Scottville or Greenfield for February, $12.16. For March, $12.17. And wheat delivered to Scottville, $6.39. For more information or to confirm the bids, contact Hog Inc.'s Greenfield office at 217-368-2888. The pre-opening price is once again corn at Greenfield $6.51, corn at Scottville $6.43, beans at Greenfield or Scottville $12.16, wheat at Scottville $6.39. And that's all for part one of the Morning Farm Show on this Wednesday morning. But before we do, the DTN general opening call for later today, corn 3 to 5 higher, beans 7 to 8 higher, wheat 3 to 4 higher. The overnight crude oil market, $1.18 higher at $100 even. Brent crude, 39 cents higher at $116.62. The April gold contract, $1.10 higher at $1,749.50. It's 20 minutes after the hour of 6 on this Wednesday morning from WSMI FM 106. Color radar showing scattered light snow around the mid-Illinois listening area at this time. This check of color radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company.
Hi, I am Greg Urey from M&M Service Company. You don't need to tell me that farming is a difficult business. What you need are the experts at M&M Service Company. For all your agronomic needs to fuel, propane, turf, and agri-financing, M&M Service Company is your one-stop shop. Our team is knowledgeable about every aspect of your farming operation and can make farming a whole lot easier. Call your local M&M Service Company office at Macoupin, Madison, or Montgomery County today and find out how our team can help you make the business of farming easier. M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs.
Across mid-Illinois for today, becoming partly cloudy, high temperatures in the mid-30s. We will have north winds at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Mostly clear tonight, low temperatures in the low 20s. And for tomorrow, Thursday, sunny skies, the high in the low 40s. Your extended forecast for Friday through Sunday, clear to partly cloudy skies, low temperatures in the upper teens to the low 20s, high temperatures in the low 30s. Right now at the Weather Center, north winds at 8 miles per hour, the barometric pressure steady, our temperature 29 degrees. Part 2 of the Morning Farm Show is yours next.
The Bank of Modesto is proud to salute all the farmers in the area, and they're committed to helping farmers throughout the year. So if you need loans for spring planting or farmland, the Bank of Modesto is the place to go. Stop in for information on all the loans they offer. The Bank of Modesto is FDIC insured and is an equal housing lender. Stop by and see the Bank of Modesto at one of their convenient locations at 201 East State in Modesto or their branch at 332 North Main in Palmyra.
6:22, part two of the Morning Farm Show on this Wednesday morning, brought to you by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, and by Wright Automotive of Hillsboro. Coming up this evening, a series of workshops benefiting cow-calf operators will be held. One of the presenters, Travis Mateer, tells us about the workshops.
Right, well, the meeting is a cow-calf-focused meeting, but all beef producers would benefit from it. We're just going to discuss some things that entail with herd health, cow nutrition, and syncing up cows, so some beef cattle repro talk, and then how we can add value to our calves.
Now, this will be put on by the University of Illinois and the Illinois Beef Association?
Yes, it's co-sponsored by those two entities.
And this will be held where?
It'll be held at the Lincoln Land College in Springfield in Menard Hall.
And you'll start about what time?
Meeting starts at 4:45, with registration.
Okay. And what else is involved? You'll have guest speakers. Do you know who some of them are?
Sure. Myself, along with our other beef extension specialist, Teresa Steckler. And then we'll have Doc O'Brien from Petersburg Vet Service talking about herd health. So,
what will you specialize in?
A good slate of speakers. My specialty would be beef nutrition, and that's kind of what my degree's in, but I have cattle myself, so I can touch on a lot of different topics.
Where is your operation?
My family has a seed stock and commercial cow-calf operation in Blue Mound, Illinois, and Athens, so right north of Springfield.
That was one of the presenters at tonight's Cow-Calf Conference, Travis Mateer. The program will start this evening at 4:45 on the Lincolnland campus in Springfield. Registration at the door is $20. The seminars are sponsored by the University of Illinois Extension and the Illinois Beef Associations. Nebraska cattleman J.D. Alexander was named 2012 president of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association during the organization's annual meeting in Nashville last week. Alexander officially took the reins of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association from Bill Donald, a rancher from Melville, Montana. The 2012 Cattle Industry Convention and Trade Show attracted a record 8,216 attendees. The attendance eclipsed the old record of about 7,000 set at the NCBA's 1998 centennial celebration. Elected National Cattlemen's Beef Association president-elect was Scott George, a Wyoming farmer. Also elected to NCBA posts at the meeting were Bob McCann of Texas, the vice president, Craig Uden of Nebraska, Federation Division Chair, Richard Gebhardt of Oklahoma, a Federation Division Vice Chair, Don Pemberton of Missouri, a Policy Division Chair, and Phil Ellis of Wyoming, a Policy Division Vice Chair. The next generation of cattlemen and women took an active role in the convention with more than 1,000 young people registered to attend. Marketing, public speaking, a quiz bowl, and livestock judging contests were held for youth of all ages. In addition, more than 250 companies and organizations exhibited at the NCBA trade show, another record. The University of Illinois Extension of Macoupin and Montgomery Counties will have their annual Agronomy Day Thursday at the Lincolnland Center in Litchfield. It begins with registration and refreshments at 8 o'clock. The presentations will start about 8:30. Topics covered will include marketing, crop production, plant pathology, and biomass. Producers can get complimentary tickets at many area locations and at the Macoupin and Montgomery County Extension offices. For more information, you can call the Extension office at 532-3941 or visit extension.illinois.edu/CJMM. Our guest on the AM Live program Monday was Ann Kafer, the Director of Corporate Communications for Growmark. On the Growmark website, growmark.com, there is a new feature on the history of the Growmark Cooperative. Ms. Kafer says it was interesting putting that together.
You know, it was a lot of fun. I think sometimes we think about history as, oh, slogging through that old, you know, pile of dusty books. But I'll tell you what. It was a great adventure. We had one of our retired executives involved who knew a fair amount of our history, at least over the 40 years of his career. And then we had some of our young employees involved, and I'm kind of somewhere in the middle. And we just took a really good reflective look at everything that we've been through. So it did involve, you know, getting into some of those dusty old file drawers, but taking a look at old video and photographs and listening to the stories. I mean, history is nothing more than stories coming to life that have been told from our leaders and those who have participated during the time.
Were you able to talk to some of, the former employees at Growmark and FS facilities around the country?
We did. We really tried to tap everybody that we could who had had an impact, who was still around to tell the involvement that they might have had with some of the key milestones. That's another thing that we have on the website, is it's broken up into, you know, we do some detail, but we also look in at some key milestones that would take place that changed the course of our business, and where we could, we tried to tap into the knowledge of the employees that were involved during that time.
I bet you also came up with some interesting stories about some of the individual facilities of the Growmark chain.
Sure. Yeah, it's interesting when you start to dig in that there are, you know, there's also legends out there. We'll call them urban myths, or maybe in this case, rural myths.
Rural myths, yes.
About the happenings.
In other farm news on this Wednesday morning, electricity can be a killer. Todd Gleason files this report about the high-powered electrical lines on the farm.
Electricity came to the farm in the 40s and the 50s and the 60s, pushed forward by the REA, the Rural Electric Administration. It made life and work easier, but brought with it new dangers that are still with us some 70 years later, says University of Illinois Extension Agricultural Safety and Health Program leader Baba Heron.
Number one electrocution on farm is getting equipment caught in overhead power lines. And that's the issue there is just being able to avoid trying to, when we're moving our grain augers or where we're trying to gonna raise the bed of a truck up or something, is to make sure we know where the overhead power lines are and stay, you know, significantly at least 10 feet clear of them by lowering the augers or making sure we're not raising our beds of our trucks or loading farm equipment on trailers underneath power lines. That's where we forget they're there and we get entangled and cause electrocution.
The second most common type of electrical accident on the farm is called a ground fault electrocution. It happens when a piece of electrical equipment is not properly grounded.
So the critical thing is that we make sure everything from our tools that are electrical to the electrical equipment that we use on farms, the generators, irrigation systems, large motors that we might be operating things, power washers and so forth, that they are grounded.
Actually, most electrical equipment is grounded twice. Once by the line that feeds the electricity to the equipment, that's usually done by the electric company, and once at the equipment, say a generator or an electric motor on an irrigation system.
You have to have a ground wire that's connected to the circuits and also to the metal casings of this equipment. And that then is connected to a ground rod. That ground rod, typically, it can be copper is ideal and needs to be at least a half inch in diameter. You can use steel or iron rods. They need to be about 5/8 inch in diameter, minimum diameter. And then that rod needs to be in the ground at least 8 feet.
8 feet deep to ground the equipment. It simply means the path of least resistance for electricity that might get free of the system is down the rod and into the ground. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Proper grounding techniques for the farm can be found in the National Electric Code. It's available online, and that code was updated this year by the National Fire Protection Association. Some reminders on this Wednesday morning, wineries continue to open in Illinois straight through the recession, raising the total to more than 100 at the start of 2012, according to the Illinois Grape Growers and Vintners Association. The U.S. Department of Agriculture and the association have begun surveying the state's wineries in order to update the last study done in 2007, when 63 wineries produced more than 844,000 gallons of wine a year in Illinois. CME Group Incorporated launched a fresh effort to rebuild market confidence damaged by the collapse of MF Global Holdings Limited, creating a $100 million insurance fund to protect farmers and ranchers. CME, which runs the Chicago Mercantile Exchange and the Chicago Board of Trade, is the world's biggest trading hub for trading in futures contracts linked to agricultural products. The Family Farmer and Rancher Protection Fund would indemnify individual farmers and ranchers for as much as $25,000 of losses incurred from the collapse of a brokerage used to place trades on the CME. Farmer cooperatives could claim up to $100,000. And that's all for part two of the Morning Farm Show on this Wednesday morning. Once again, the DTN general opening call for today, corn about a nickel higher, beans about 7 cents higher, wheat about 4 cents higher. Part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by Wright Automotive of Hillsboro and by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau.